James Hall, and welcome to Restoring Heroes, Real Biblical Manhood in the Counterfeit World, and partnered with the War Cry Podcast Network. Woo! One more time for the back. I have no idea why I went, but I had to do it. I feel good. How are you doing on the day of the day? If you're hearing my voice, if you're hearing the scream of the hero stuff, you know what time it is. You know what time it is. It's time for episode 115 of Restoring Heroes Project. Oh, yes. I have a whole lot to say in a little bit of time, so I need to keep your ears peeled and your eyes open. Can you do that? I believe that you can. Look, a little shop talk. Do it every day. If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast. And go ahead and make a review on iTunes. And if you're on Google Play, I don't know what you could do, but I appreciate you pushing on this here podcast, right? And then next, you need to be subscribed to the what I'm saying so much for. What is wrong with me today? You need to be subscribed to the YouTube channel, where we do videos every week. You know, trying to do it multiple times a week, but we can work on that. And if you want to be part of Discord community, go ahead and you can DM me at Hero Stuff Bro on Instagram, at Hero Stuff Bro on Instagram, and we can get it rocking. Let's get into the show or the message I have for you today. So this whole week the beginning of this podcast this year, the whole year 2021, we are storming the gates. Now, if you're listening to this, it's probably after the inauguration, right? And some people are happy, some people are sad, and some people are scared, and some people are jubilated, and you know, whatever, right? But I want to leave you with something. So we're storming the gates. That means we are leaving no stone unturned. That means everything belongs to God, right? We're storming the gates, so the gates of hell will not prevail. So we're going to be on the offense this year. We're going to be on the offense and taking it to the kingdom of darkness through music, through writing, through whatever talent you have, working a job. If you're a doctor, you'll be the best doctor to ever doctored. If you're a dentist, you could be the best dentist to ever dentisted. You know what I mean? All that stuff. If you sew, if you're a computer program, you go program and put some colons and smiley faces and half a whatever and whatever, the ones and zeros, whatever you do, you can do it to the best of your ability for the glory of the Lord, right? That's storming the gates. Leaving no stone unturned for the gospel. That's storming the gates. So, today, last week we talked about go and conquer. This week, we're talking about Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. All right, so here we go. Jesus is Lord is not just a cute statement to put on a bumper sticker or something that you'll find on a t-shirt at your local Walmart or Wally World. This statement holds implications and weight that will change your worldview if you let it. This is a political statement. This is a cultural statement. Jesus is Lord is what drives the phrase Jesus is Lord. Listen closely. That phrase, Jesus is Lord, is what drives everything we do as Christians. Now, listen to this. Listen to what Paul says. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him, all things were made in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, rather thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, rather on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. See, Jesus Christ is Lord. All things. Let's go. Remember what Matthew said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. So therefore, because of that, go teach them. Go teach. Go preach. Go teach them everything I taught you. Go do what I told you to do. Go make those people my people, because all authority has been given to me. All of it. Jesus is Lord is a political statement. That means he's Lord over the right wing. He's Lord over the left wing. He's Lord over the whole flipping bird. If you want to fricassee that thing and chop it up and do whatever you want with it, Jesus is Lord. Oh, he can do what he want. Right? Jesus is Lord over all culture. Every culture that thinks it is doing his own thing is not. Jesus is Lord over that. Now they might be rebellious, right? They're gonna rebel against the king, but that's the king's territory, so we could take that too. Because it's God's, right? So with that said, listen to this very closely. We overcome what Jesus has already overcome. We're not going out into territory that has not been already defeated or already conquered, or Jesus doesn't have already have the, we're not fighting to make Jesus king over that. We're not storming the gates to make Jesus king over this nation, over those people, over that culture, over that political group, over this political group. No. We are fighting because Jesus is already king over that, and he's given us marching orders to go and teach them about him, to make those people his people. You know what I mean? So it says, and this is John, oh, I forgot to tell you the scripture before. That was Colossians 1, 15 through 20. But this is going to be John 16, 33. And it says, I've said these things to you that you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So we're not marching in a spot that we have not already been given a victory over, right? We got to withstand the blows of the enemy. Yes, we have to stand and hold fast to our shield of faith. We have to swing our swords. We have to watch out for the fiery darts of the wicked one, but we have to continue to advance. Why? Because Jesus is Lord. Because he's Lord over all, because he has been given all authority over heavens and earth. He has been given over rulers and authorities, over governors, mayors, over police officers. He's been given authority over all these things. So because of that, we have a certain mandate to go out and proclaim the headship and the power and the just plain lordness of our God. You know what I mean? Just plain greatness of our God. Jesus is Lord is a political statement, right? That means we are making a political statement. That means whether the right is wrong or whether the left is wrong, we stand on truth. We stand on the word of God, because that is the standard that we dictate was right and wrong. So the left can be off and we'll correct them on that. The right can be off and we'll correct them on that. The left want to chop up babies and sell the baby parts. We go say that's no, that's murder. The right want to be spineless and let that stuff happen and won't say anything. We go say you're complicit. And that's wrong too, right? The left want people to think that a man is a woman and a woman is a man, right? We go say no, that's dumb. That's not right. The right want to stay and complicit and make that and let that stuff happen, let that stuff fly and clap hands and call a woman a man and a man a woman. We go call that cowardice, which is also sin, right? Right? Yes, we are. Why? Because Jesus is Lord. Because Jesus is Lord over all. That means we have a right. We have the kingdom right to hold on to that truth. And that's how we gauge everything, by the truth of God's word, not by culture, not by political being, not by what you went through when you was a little kid, so you don't think that's necessary, not by you came from a church that did it like this, so you feel that you could do it like that. No, it has to be from the word of God. And you have to look at the word of God with eyes afresh every time. You have to look at the word of God without any presuppositions or prejudgments. The word of God says what the word of God says, whether you go from a church that obeyed it or not. Well, I came from a church that really didn't follow this, so I just swung the pendulum the other way and did hyper stuff. Like, no, you don't do that. Never mind. I'm what's that called? Going down a tangent. I don't want to do that right now. Let's stay focused. So, go back to, we overcome what Jesus already overcome or overcame, right? We put to death that which is already dead works in Jesus. We have a responsibility to put to death things that have already been defeated by the cross. Thank you, Jesus. We have a responsibility to put those things to death. If you don't believe me, let's go ahead and go to the scriptures. Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 11. It says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, that and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Amen. That here, there is no Greek, Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. See, we have to put to death. We have a command. We put to death things that already had, which are already dead works in the cross. You want to? The end of the chapter is so powerful to me. There's no Greek. There's no Jew. There's no circumcised. There's no barbarian. There's no slave. There's no free. Look, when you're in Christ, you are one people. You are one people. So racism don't belong. That means you can't say that your white brother has to apologize for the ancestors that might not have been related to him, has apologized to you because your skin just happens to be darker than his. So he must apologize to you because he has to validate your blackness. And they can't say that they do have to apologize for them because one day around the corner, they got beat up by a black kid at a school. And because you're black, you have to apologize to them because the black kid beat them up in school. Because we're Christians. We have to put away malice, right? Put away anger, put away wrath, put away slander. Oh, you know what slander is? Calling somebody racist is not racist. Calling somebody a bigot, that's not really a bigot because you can't prove it, right? That is slander. Putting away those things. Obscene talk from your mouth, lying to one another, because that was part of your old self. That's what you used to walk in. But we have a responsibility, a joyful responsibility, to put to death the things that Jesus has already put to death, to continue to put to death the dead works from our flesh. We have a responsibility. right? Look, listen, listen. We take hold to things that are already ours through Jesus Christ. Amen. So we fight against things. We destroy things. We put to death things. We mortify things that we already have, that already are mortified through the cross. And that's amazing, right? God gives us the power to do that, right? But then we can lay hold to things. Lay hold to things, to the peace that surpasses our understanding. We can lay hold to pleasures. We can lay hold to the grace of an awesome steak. We can lay hold to those things, right? Because they're already ours through Jesus Christ. Look, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 through 11, right? It says, "But as for you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness, fight the good fight of faith, take hold of eternal life, which you were called and about which you were made. You made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Because of Jesus Christ, because of the cross of Christ, listen to this, man, because it's important. You can pursue righteousness. You can pursue godliness. You can pursue faith. You can pursue love. You can pursue steadfastness. You can pursue gentleness. You can pursue, you can fight the good fight of faith because of Jesus Christ. You can fight the good fight of faith.
Amen.
Because of Jesus, you can fight the good fight of faith. It's only through the cross. Now, we have no other jurisdiction. We have no other power but the power that has been given to us by Jesus, the Christ, from the cross and his resurrection. Any other power is a counterfeit power. Any other authority is not authority at all. Right? We only have the power, the power to pursue is only through Jesus Christ. It's not through Allah. It's not through, Horus. It's not through Osiris. It's not through Buddha. It's not through Kylie. It's not through none of those demons, right? The power to pursue goodness, godliness, faith, love is not through LGBT. Love is not the answer to, and love In the sense of my own desires is not the answer to things. No, God is love. So the pursuit of God is only through Jesus Christ. You have the power through Jesus Christ. No other name, no other authority, none. It's only through Jesus Christ that you have the authority to pursue. Let me give you the list again because it's so beautiful, so wonderful. To pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. This was given to you. The only way you can take hold of eternal life is through Jesus Christ. We take hold of things that are already ours through Jesus Christ. Jesus is Lord. Look. Jesus is Lord. This means we join him on his crusade of head crushing. His crusade started, like, the head crushing mandate was given in Genesis, right? Was given in Genesis. I don't want to mess it up for you, but I want you to believe me. So we got to go to the word, because my words don't matter. Like, I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough, right? My words don't matter. Let's just go to the Bible and what it says. It says, I'm going to Genesis chapter 3. Oh, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. This the head crushing mandate. It says, and I'll put enmity, he's talking to the serpent, and I'll put enmity, I will make you and put enmity, well, can't say that word, between you and the woman, between her offspring and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, but you shall bruise his heel. Other translation says crush, right? He's gonna crush your head. He was talking to Satan. He was letting Satan know that what you just did, what you tried to mess up, is only gonna work. It ain't gonna work as good as you want to, because you're about to get head crushed, right? So it's our Jesus Lord means that this means that we are with him on his crusade of head crushing, of serpent stumping, okay? Of viper vaporizing. We are on the viper vaporizing. That's amazing. We are on the same crusade. So we have to go with the gospel, with the truth, with the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. No other doctrine. We don't have to go with a new book. We don't have to go with this book plus the Bible. We don't have to do none of that. We have to go with the word of God and go on a stumping crusade against the hordes of vipers, the brood of vipers, which is the people, the entities, the spirits that are against Jesus Christ. So we are going to fight them with the gospel, with the truth, with some tartness. We're going to fight them with that, right? Oh, we're not going to cower down. We're not going to back down, because it's our mandate to join Jesus Christ on a crusade of head crushing for the cause of Christ, right? Listen, man. So we embrace what Jesus says embrace, and we fight what Jesus says fight. We worship what Jesus gives us to worship. We say what Jesus tells us to say. This is what we're commanded to do. We embrace what he wants us to embrace. We fight what he wants us to fight against. Right? We worship what he gives us to worship, and that's only him. So we give our whole heart to it. Our very being is to worship God, not just with songs, not just with hymns, not just with spiritual songs, but our whole lifestyle, how we walk, how we drive, how we eat, how we talk to our kids, how we talk to our wives, what we let our eyes see, what we let our ears hear. It's all about worshiping the one true King. Right? So with that, we only say what Jesus tells us to say. It reminds me of what Exodus, when Moses was like, well, I'm not good with talking. I'm not good with the talking thing. Like, God, you bless me, but I'm not really good with that talking thing. He said, don't, who made the man's mouth? Don't worry about what to say. Just say what I tell you to say. And I'll give you the power, right? Just tell you what I tell you to say. Don't worry about anything else. It says the same thing in the New Testament. Don't worry about how you're going to answer them. The Holy Spirit will give you what to say, right? That don't mean they don't got to say the word. That's not the point. What I'm saying is you only have the authority to say what the Bible is saying with no sauce. The Bible is good enough and tasty enough. You don't have to throw extra sauce on top of it. You don't have to top it with cream. You don't have to spoonful of sugar it. You don't have to do none of that. The Bible is good enough all by itself. You only have the authority. Listen, men. You only have the authority to say what the Bible says. If You are not embracing what Jesus says embrace and fighting against what Jesus says fight against and worshiping Jesus, what Jesus gives you to worship, which is himself, and saying what Jesus tells you to say. If you're not doing that, then you're, Jesus is not Lord, and you're walking in a lie. Period. Period. You don't believe me? Okay, I go to Luke. Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. It says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not, why do you call me Lord, Lord?" I have another translation in my head, so my bad. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I'll show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on a rock. And when the floods arose and the stream broke against that house, it could not shake because it was well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. And when the stream broke against it, it immediately fell, and the ruin of that house was great." If you're not embracing what Jesus said embrace, fighting against what Jesus says fight against, worshiping Jesus with everything, saying only what Jesus tells you to say, if you're not doing that, your house is a facade. Your house is a facade. You're building up, you're building a clubhouse, you're building a you're building a blanket fort to go against a brick house, right? You're building a blanket fort to go against, to stand against a castle in old England. And you think that would stand. You're building a sand castle instead of building on solid rock. It looks good, but it's worth nothing. It does nothing. It can't do anything. Jesus is Lord is a statement that should penetrate your hearts, men. That means Jesus is Lord of how you speak. Jesus is Lord of what you watch. Jesus is Lord of who you affiliate with politically. Jesus is Lord. See, the world is, you don't understand. It's another talk. It's another talk for another time. Jesus is Lord over all that. Right? Right? Jesus is Lord. I'm gonna save this last thing and then we go. Look, so embrace what Jesus says embrace. Fight what Jesus says fight. Worship what Jesus says worship. Say what Jesus tells us to say. Amen. Why? Because Jesus is Lord. And that's all I got to say about that, heroes. Until next time, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, and be strong out there. And storm the gates. Whoop-ah!